for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel filling in for Dr. Drew tonight. Dr. Drew still over in Canada, just about wrapped up on his Olsen Twins movie. Dr. Marcel, board certified, and is a plastic surgeon, but can answer general medical questions. But I think tonight we're going to steer it toward the plastic surgery side. Very knowledgeable. Very
Sounds
good
like
at what he does. Busy Phillips is our guest tonight. You know her from Dawson's Creek and Freaks and Geeks, and now his movie called Homeroom, which is coming out this September on the 5th. That's,
tomorrow.
Friday? Yeah, it's tomorrow. Now, tell us about the movie.
It's an independent film that I did a couple of years ago with Erica Christensen from Traffic and Victor Garber from Alias. And it basically centers around the aftermath of a school shooting in high school. And these two girls who come from very different worlds, and they have to come together to sort of help each other through the healing process. Everything takes place in the movie after the last shot is fired. So the movie really doesn't focus on the killer or his story at all. It's more about the victims of the...
Are you in college or high school?
We're in high school.
You're in high school?
I did it a couple years ago, Adam.
No, baby,
these
no.
independent
no,
films.
I mean, you look
know,
good. You
thanks.
Could pass for a fifth grader.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that.
It was a while ago.
No, yeah.
I'm definitely onto the college rolls.
Good.
Now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Big time.
I'm going to junior college. That's the film roles I'm looking at. And this isn't a wide release coming out New York, LA,
it's
Chicago.
It's in two theaters in New York. I think you get AMC 25 and somewhere in Manhattan and the Village something.
And what's what's going on with Dawson's Creek?
It's over, man.
That's it.
You
right?
killed it.
I figured we did. We've done that to a few shows.
Yeah. I know you have, actually. You did it to my last show too. You were like the kiss of death with that too.
What?
We came in to plead with the audience, you know, with your audience to watch our show Freaks and Geeks, and then it got canceled like literally the next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
we've done it we have done it with a number of sitcoms, but now Drew wanted to branch out into dramas.
Right.
So
it's over.
Dawson's Creek was first in our docket. Well, we're going alphabetically.
Right.
We're moving on. All right, so that's it. Are you happy?
Yeah, I mean, with the commute. I mean, you were in Wilmington. You were
yes,
on that set.
I was.
You talked about it for days, I believe.
Beautiful people over there in Wilmington.
I love them all dearly. but so I'm happy to be back in LA. I'm happy to be able to drive my car.
Yeah, so you would go to Wilmington for 4 months out of the year, 6 months out of the year?
It was 9 months
Holy
total.
Christ.
Yeah, and we'd fly back and forth. And I was only on the last 2 years of the show, so I sort of even had a little bit easier time than the rest of the kids who were there for 6 years doing it back and forth.
Because it's kind of weird with Katie Holmes or James Vanderbeek or people that were not big celebrities when
right.
the season started or when the show started, and now they're living in Wilmington three quarters of
I
the time.
I think it was like a really interesting sociological study of like, let's take these 18-year-old kids, put them in an island and make them hugely famous, like in this small town in the South, and let's see what happens, everybody. Like, but they all turned out like really good kids. So you hung out with them all. They're all great kids.
I never talked to anyone. I was trying to nap in my trailer the entire time.
That's true.
Because
that's true.
We're having these early call times, and we're having to do the radio show from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. at some studio that was halfway across town. So I was getting back at 4 a.m.
Halfway across town was like five blocks, Adam.
Oh, well, the town's 10 blocks wide. That's all. But you know, the part you don't know is, there are these sort of local Teamster van driver people who cart you all over the place. And it's a certain breed of cat, the people that get into the transportation. Like
the NASCAR fans.
Yeah, they love NASCAR. They love cigarettes. They the women's hair is shorter than the men's. They're haunchy people. But they're right as rain. You know, they're salt of the earth. And I had to be picked up on our last. I had to be picked up at like 4:30 a.m. to go to the airport. I got off work at 3, so I just pulled an all-nighter. And, of course, it was raining, and, of course, I was downstairs in front of the hotel I was staying at, and never showed.
She never showed?
Yeah, never showed, except for then after I panicked, called a cab, And 20 minutes later, when the cab driver pulled in, she pulled in the van, and then I had to pay
but
the cab driver.
But that's because, you know, but yeah. that's because you thought you had to be at the airport too early. The airport didn't even open. You were on a 6 a.m. I know exactly what flight you were on, the 6 a.m. flight. The airport doesn't even open until like 5:30.
She was supposed to meet me at like 4:45, and she never showed.
All right.
It was an outrage. All right. Outrage. I'll never do another episode of Dawson's Creek, and neither will Drew. And Marcel, would you join us on this?
I think I can, yeah.
Good. I like that you share our outrage. All right. So we'll give the movie a little plug. Marcel will focus on the plastic surgery. Busy, you're a naturally beautiful woman, but do you have any questions for Marcel regarding plastic surgery?
No. Airbrushing works for me. Thanks.
We'll get to the phones. Marcel, you can pick the calls, by the way, as tradition would have it, if you like one, but I'll just go in order for now. Robin?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
I know that y'all are just saying he's a plastic surgeon, so I don't really know how much y'all are going to be able to help me, but I'm pregnant right now. I'm 25 weeks pregnant, and I've been taking an injection of a medication called Buprenex that I got on to help me get off of heroin and methadone, and I've looked on the internet to try to find out as much as I can about taking that when you're pregnant. And
well, wait a minute. Who put you on this?
There's a doctor here, and I'm Dr. David Jones.
You're a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Drew, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know you're a heroin addict when you're answering the canned Dr. Drew card that Engineer Anderson is playing. But, Robin, I don't need the guy's full name. I just want to know, is it a doctor that put you on this?
Yeah. When he put me on it, I wasn't pregnant.
And then he doesn't know you're pregnant now.
Not right now, no.
It seemed like it would be a good idea to talk to him about
that. Seven months into this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is he giving you injections of this?
Yeah, there's a pill form, and then there's an injection form. And then the pill form he uses for, like, the first 30 days that you're coming off of the heroin, and then you go on.
Who's giving you the injections now?
Mm-hmm.
Who's giving you the injections?
The same doctor. He's the only one.
So you've been getting the injections for this all last 7 months?
Well, he...
And you haven't clued him into the baby?
No. My mother's on the same drug. She's taking the same thing, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I had refills on it and, you know, had to use it just...
You had refills on the injection or refills on the pill form?
No, on the injection. They only...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they only
it's
do
no big deal if you're a junkie to shoot yourself up with something, right? I mean,
well,
you don't do it
into your vein. You have to do it into like the fatty tissue on your stomach.
Injection.
Okay. All right. Hold on a second. I have a plan for the kid so it can have a good chance at life, which is immediately after the kid is born, two frat guys holding one of those water balloon launchers made out of the surgical tubing, face it toward Mecca. Umbilical cord, placenta and all, and just launch it toward the sun. Just so the kid has a fighting chance.
Yeah.
I just say it's marginal, but it's a higher percentage chance that it'll be caught mid-flight by a friendly stork and dropped off into some friendly tribe or some loving tribe somewhere. Or maybe the nest of a buzzard that happens to have a dull beak and bad eyes and raises the child as its own.
Yeah.
Feeding it beak to mouth with crushed worms.
It sounds like it's time to bring this up to your doctor.
Okay, so Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to talk to your doctor about this. I've never heard of this stuff. I mean, I sit next to Drew every night. Always talks about, you know, methadone versus, you know, heroin and all that kind of stuff. But I never heard of this drug.
Is this an experimental?
New. I know that. It's been out for... like 2 or 3 years. It mm-hmm. came out in England first, I believe, and then they started prescribing
it. Is it in trials? Do you know?
They did a trial of it, but, I mean, I had mentioned it to my doctor. I didn't say that it was me, but I said I knew somebody that was pregnant, and he just basically told me that they haven't really done any tests on any, you know, they don't have anything about
right.
pregnancy, you know, people using it in pregnancy, and I've looked on the internet and there's...
Okay, well, Robin, it's not like you robbed a liquor store or anything. You're 24 and you're pregnant. You can go ahead and talk to your doctor about being pregnant and taking these injections. So do it first thing tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, is the potential father around?
No.
He doesn't want anything to do with me. I am dumbfounded. I'm flabbergasted. I can barely speak. This is amazing, amazing shock to me. And can you not have any more kids, please? Number one.
No, I'm not having any more. I didn't plan on having this one either.
Right. And do you have any other kids?
No.
Okay. And so is Mama going to help out?
Yeah, my parents. I mean, they're real supportive of me and stuff.
Okay.
But...
And how's Mama doing with her heroin addiction?
She never was on heroin. She had a pain pill addiction really bad. They use it for any opiate-based addiction.
Okay. Well, good times. No more kids. And,
go to Planned Parenthood and get some birth control.
Yeah, I was on birth control when I got pregnant.
Right. You got to take it.
I did.
You can't actually sit on it.
I wore a condom, too, and I still got pregnant.
No. Okay. What is, you know what I love? This, like, families, and this is how I know there's absolutely no God, because you see, you hear about these families, the guy's an orthodontist, the woman is a leader in the church, have been trying for years unsuccessfully to have a kid, and Jethro over here blows the condom, she misses the pill the night before, and pow, you got this kid. What is that? Why is it like I tell people all the time, you're trying to have a kid, you can't have a kid, here's how you have a kid. You get fired. Yeah. You get ass canned from your job, lose a front tooth, have the car repossessed, and put a sofa on the porch. You will be pregnant that night. This guarantees you fertility. What is that?
God has a sense of humor.
No, I don't think he has a sense of humor. I think he's effing with everybody.
Yep.
All right. Let's busy. You with me?
I'm with you.
Thank you. Sense of humor. David?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's up?
Well, I want to know if you know
anything. Hold on a second. If God had a sense of humor, instead of a period, snakes would come out of the vagina. You know the spring-loaded ones? Like a can of toffee? That's a sense of humor. Not a bunch of blood. And horrible pregnant people and kids that parents that are strung out. David, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know if you know anything about a pill called Alzair. It's a pill, ultimate pill.
Huh?
What's the pill for?
Alzair. Alzare.
For what?
It's a penis enlargement supplement.
Is that in the back of a magazine?
No.
I think I get those emails all the time.
Do you? Is it a real pill?
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's a real pill.
All right. And how's your penis? Is it small?
No, it's almost 7 inches.
Almost 7. That seems pretty good. That's hardy. That's a handful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want more?
Yes, sir.
I bet there are other areas of your life you could improve before you focused on your penis. Let me ask some questions.
All right,
where do you live? Are you a renter or an owner?
Renter.
Shocking. Well, there you go, right there. There's something you could put in front of your penis to focus on, especially when your penis is almost, you know, it's burgeoning on 7 inches.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's not bad.
Uh-huh.
And okay, so you what do you do for a living?
I'm a truck driver.
There's another thing we could focus on. Probably do a little better than that, too, right?
Yeah. Hold
up, All right. So, here's the deal. Once you get your you get rid of the truck driving, you get yourself a condo, then you call back. We'll talk about the pill.
Okay.
All right. That's good. That's sensible. All right. See how I divert people that way?
It's beautiful.
And any of these pills known to work?
Not that I know of. No.
What about the breast enlarging ones that they advertise on the radio?
We're doing more breast augmentations now than ever before, so I don't think they have much of an impact on my business.
Okay.
So they don't really work?
No.
Not that you're aware of?
No.
Nothing but your knife is going to really
nothing
do it.
Nothing but the fun
what's,
bags
what's
right
your specialty?
Now.
Like, what do you, my uncle is a plastic surgeon. He's known for his breasts, so what do you?
He has breasts?
Oh, no.
What do you do?
I do a lot of breast work. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of body contouring.
Noses?
No.
Not so much?
No, not so much.
Mm.
And what, now, is that its own specialty? Like, if you want a nose job, should you just go to a nose guy?
Well, I think everybody's practice evolves in different directions, and some guys get a reputation for doing noses, and that attracts more patients that are looking for noses.
Right.
In my particular instance, if you focus on breasts, one thing that's great about breast patients is they tell everybody.
Right.
And
oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's one way of having a practice grow. Oh, I mean, if a woman gets liposuction, do you think they're going to tell everyone? They're
right.
just going to say they worked out or lost weight. They get their breasts done. They show everyone. They
feel
let everyone
them.
Touch.
Feel
that's
them.
Right.
No, not me. I'm all real.
Yeah, but I still could do. They still could be felt.
That's right.
They certainly
yes,
can.
Yes, that's
no,
true.
It's interesting. I never really thought about it, which is people would be much less apt to say they had a nose job than a breast job,
oh, yeah.
even though if someone just sort of tapped you on the shoulder and asked you which one you thought was which 10 years ago, you'd say, I guess people would say nose before breast, but it's probably...
Breasts, they tell everybody.
Yeah, and nose, they wouldn't. You just don't tell anybody.
Yeah,
can you tell? Can you tell when people have had... work?
Some of the times. I mean, some of the best work is the work you don't notice.
Right.
But, I mean, somebody gets their eyes done, they're not telling anyone, oh,
right.
no, I'm just resting more. I've been on vacation.
Right.
They get the breasts done, they show everybody, and that's, if it's a good job, it's good for
deal.
Business.
Like, you can't really hide it when you...
No.
What's going on with the body contouring? I mean, you got the liposuction. Does
and
that
then,
work?
Yeah. Oh, no, it works great.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets people to a new baseline, but if they've
right.
got hand-to-mouth disease... they're going
right.
to undo it.
Right.
That's what we tell them.
Oprah was incredible today. It was a rerun. It was these people who had lost like 700 pounds, you
yeah.
know?
Right.
She gave one guy a Porsche. He'd lost 300 pounds himself. Himself.
He ate it.
He didn't like do the gastro bypass surgery. Like all these people had just stopped eating.
No, I just got back from a meeting that focuses on breast and body contouring. And that is the hot topic in plastic surgery is all the post-bariatric surgery work that's going to be out there. Because
all the skin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one hot general surgery procedure right now. All the healthcare groups are looking into getting into bariatric surgery. And then what's going to happen?
That's called bariatric when someone was 500.
Right.
They go back. Now they get the gastro bypass. They get down to 175. And now they got a bunch of extra skin.
Right.
Right.
Their arms hang down. Their legs hang down. Their stomach hangs down.
Do you do that? You ever done that one?
We're seeing more and more. Yeah.
That
someone
just,
told me you can never
like
lose fat from your ankles. Is that true? There's
no
way to work out the ankle.
Well, I don't know about working out the ankles, but if you lose weight, you lose fat from
ankles,
everywhere.
But
well,
you
if you
seen
have cankles,
were...
that might be difficult.
Oh.
Marcel could
you
suck
could do a little
that out
liposuction in that area.
So what
I
else?
Have great ankles.
What else with
so you know.
What else with body contouring?
Well,
I mean,
it's mainly it's liposuction and then what we call excisional surgery, which is removing skin and fat.
And what about, I don't know, I saw something on 2020 where there was some sort of injections, many, many, like, micro-injections of a vitamin and whatever into this area. It sort of took
to try
the
and
place
make it melt
lipo.
Away.
Yeah.
You know, that's
what about
something
it?
that's been studied in France. I don't know if it hasn't made it over here in the United States yet, and it certainly has not been popularized yet. You know, we'll see. I mean,
okay.
It's like years ago there was that skinny dip cream, remember that?
Yeah.
It was the cream you just rubbed on your thighs, and it would melt away, and plastic surgeons would all be out of business.
Right. Didn't work.
You know, nah.
All right. No free lunches. Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yep.
What's your question?
My dad and stepmom beat me in front of my one-year-old daughter about a year ago, and I'm in therapy, but just how's that going to affect her in the long run?
Well, what did she do? I mean, how badly did they beat you, and how did your daughter react?
She cried a lot. And enough that the same night, I went over to my mom's house with my daughter, and we got a police report, and they're going to be arrested, and they just beat me up pretty bad.
This is your stepmom and your dad?
Yeah, and I went with my mom.
Right.
I called her, and she came and got me.
Why did they beat you up?
Because I forgot to say thank you. They're both alcoholics, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you did not say thank you. I mean.
Where's my bourbon?
I'm not saying you deserved it. I'm just, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, why are you in that living situation and not living with your mom?
I am living with my mom.
Oh, okay.
Now you are.
You just,
yeah.
Were you living with them at the time?
Yeah, and that night I packed up as much as I could and came back with a cop the next day and.
All right.
I'm living here.
Well, good. All right, so...
you going to high school?
No, I'm getting my GED next month.
Don't bother with that GED, by the way. waste of time.
I don't want to go to a community college thing, though.
You don't?
I want to go to the real thing, yeah.
You want to go to real college?
Yeah.
Don't waste your time with that either. Because you can't go to a real college until you go to a community college, because you'll just have a GED. Yeah. That's not going to help. Huh?
Okay.
All right, listen, you got to get a job. You know what you got to be?
What?
You got to be a nurse.
That's what my mom is.
Oh, that's
really?
Great. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. You can be a nurse.
Okay.
I think you got to do a little junior college for that. So go ahead and get the GED. Go to junior college, but just focus on the nursing.
Okay.
None of that general education crap. You want that? You watch cable. You don't waste everyone's time, including the taxpayers, sitting around smoking weed, playing hacky sack, talking with your hippie buddies over there. You go right to nursing school. What's that?
My friend huffed some gas, and what are the side effects of that, too?
It kills your brain cells.
I mean,
as a nurse, you should know the implications. Now, listen, Stephanie, but two things. Huffing stuff is bad.
No, I didn't do it. My friend did.
All right.
He caught his foot on fire and...
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Mom, maybe you shouldn't be hanging out with Beavis.
You know what I mean? He doesn't even live in this state. He just called me and told me.
Okay, that's good. But let me just...
Starwind's
get you on
law.
Track here for a second.
Lights himself on fire.
your kid, here's the thing about your kid. Your one-year-old seeing you getting beaten up by your stepmother and father is not a good thing for a one-year-old. But what is worse is just growing up in the general crap that is your life. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the real danger is. So you want to get yourself together and be as good as you possibly can. And you can never undo something that was done. But... if you provide a good, loving environment, everything's fine, your kid's going to be fine.
And look into the nursing or dental technician.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have actually the dental thing.
Yeah, get into that dental
good.
Thing.
That's
yeah.
good.
Clean those teeth. That's great.
Then the kid will have good teeth.
Yeah, because Mom will be real weird about it. Yeah, those dental technicians are always delights.
They are.
there's always some bizarre nationality. I never know what they are. Everything but Swedish. I want a nice, busty Swedish broad to clean my teeth, but it's always this crazy mixture, sort of Johnny Quest villain mixture. Like, I don't know, looks like she's got a little Thai, maybe a little Vietnamese in her. I'm not sure what she is. And then they like to talk to you just a little bit while your mouth is open, so you just do a lot of nodding and grunting.
A little probing there.
Yeah, and then they like to ask questions. Yeah, uh-huh. It's always condescending when they show you how to floss and stuff. Like they show you the proper way to brush, and I always feel like it's some third world hygiene class is going on. Like I'm some villager, and they're explaining to me what a toothbrush is. What is it about dentistry that has to be condescending?
That doesn't happen to me.
It doesn't?
No, you got to go to my dentist.
I got to go to an adult.
Yeah, a good dentist.
I get the
dentist
thing,
to the stars.
I get the thing in the mail. I get the thing in the mail that's like, Mr. Toothbrush says it's time for cleaning. You know, it's like, I'm 39, you prick. Don't you have adult cards? Like, I'd like something like a wedding invitation. You know, dear Mr. Corolla, we request
all
your presents.
And everything.
Yeah, boss.
Yeah.
Where you've not had a cleaning since, and it's written out longhand, the date.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Not this Tommy the Toothbrush says, and he has a thought bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't do that in the plastic surgery thing.
Time for
a boob job?
No.
All right. Where are we? What time is it? We're late. We got to take a break. Busy Phillips here tonight. Homeroom, named for movie, coming out this Friday. Limited release. L.A., New York, a few big cities like that, all the important ones. Dr. Marcel, filling in for Dr. Drew, taking your plastic surgeon questions, surgery questions tonight. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel filling in for Dr. Drew. He'll be in here Sunday night. Busy Phillips is our guest tonight. Got herself, from Dawson's Creek and Geeks and Freaks and Freaks and Geeks. And Homeroom is the name of the movie. It's coming out this Friday, coming out tomorrow. Going to be in L.A. and New York and did you say Chicago?
It's Denver, actually.
Oh, Denver.
Denver.
Oh, is that have anything to do with Columbine?
Well, I think it does actually have something to do with Columbine because, you know, Denver is obviously kind of sensitive to the subject matter. And we were invited to the Denver Film Festival last year and we got a really great response there. And when they sold the movie shortly after the film festival, I think that they thought it was a good idea to open it there. And they had a free screening like 2 days ago mm-hmm. in Denver, and apparently like 300 people showed up, which is pretty great for a small independent film that no one's really heard of.
Well, I've heard of it now.
They've heard of it now on Loveline.
I'm not hoping for it, but we're kind of overdue for a school shooting. I mean, you know, like I said, it's not like I got my fingers crossed or anything, but it's been a while.
We're also overdue for an earthquake, Adam. I mean,
Very good point. Talking to someone on the ride in, I said, I was talking to a friend of mine who moved out here, and I said, I knew he'd been here about 8, 9, 10 years, something like that. I said, were you here for the 94 quake? Said he got here a couple weeks later. He said all his friends said he was nuts, but he said, no, that's diabolical. You come in right after the last one, and you know you got a good 10 years before the next one. But then it reminded me that, yeah, we're about due. And the next thing that reminded me was it's earthquake weather.
It is earthquake weather.
It's earthquake weather.
There was a tornado today in the Southland.
It is absolutely earthquake weather. Anyone who's lived out in Southern California knows two things about earthquakes. They hit it between 4:30 and 4:45 in the a.m.
Yeah.
So you're completely disoriented. Like you have to have half a boner and one slipper on as you make your way out onto the lawn with your football helmet on. Yeah. It's like, and you have to not know what's going on. Like, there's never been I've been out here my whole life, been through a few good-sized earthquakes, and they're 4:45 in the morning, so you never know what's going on for the first 30 seconds. It's that disoriented, someone's moving the house. You know, if they would have the goddamn things at 8 in the evening, you'd be sitting down, and within a tenth of a second, you would know, oh, it's an earthquake. I better go stand in a doorway. Instead, you're in bed. You're rolling around somewhere. Yeah. Everything's dark. The power goes out. You just hear things crashing. Everyone's disoriented. I don't know. I don't know anything about plate tectonics, but do they have to be in the wee hours in the morning?
Seems that way.
And it seemed to. It always happens when it's good and hot, mm-hmm. which is good because as you go out onto the lawn with the football helmet and the boner, it's seasonable. I mean, it's nice. It's in the 70s.
Getting goosebumps.
Yeah, it's not and shrinking the junk with the neighbors and the whole nine yards. But yes, we're overdue for a good earthquake. We look forward to that too.
Yep.
All right. So where was we? Found out during the commercial that Dr. Marcel has done not vaginal rejuvenation, but done a little.
They're called labiaplasties.
Right. Big labias.
Right.
And
trimming them down.
You've trimmed them down.
Wait, is this naturally? Big labias, like this is
a lot
this
of times.
Nature.
It's a lot of times it's after childbearing. Like,
oh, really?
The labia minora get kind of stretched out and big. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then some women are cut that way, right?
Right. Some women are just that way,
and you just take it off,
snug them down. Yeah, trim them down.
Do you contour them
down?
Do you physically just take skin off the outside perimeter?
Mm-hmm. Holy cow, that hurts.
Nice.
I'm getting that pain.
You put it under a little traction and mark out what you're gonna snip off, and then tuck it up.
Put a little tracks. You cut the blood flow off.
You pull it.
You pull it tight. Oh, that's nice.
Mark it up.
That's nice.
What about nerves, or does it have any?
Well, there are nerves in that area, It's not that painful.
Don't you have feeling down there, busy?
God,
tell us.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
So
is this an outpatient surgery?
Yeah,
are they awake?
It's out. No, they're not awake.
No.
How long
not
does
because
it take
of the
to
pain,
recover?
But just because of the humiliation.
You're sore for a while. It takes a while for the swelling to go down. And
no horse jumping for at least 10 days.
You're a little bit out of commission for a little while there.
I imagine it would hurt to pee. Just burn.
No.
Yes, because it's peeing on an open sore.
No, it's sewn shut. It's closed.
Yeah,
it's not a raw wound.
Yeah.
No.
He finishes
a
out.
Raw wound.
Yeah, we don't staple it or anything.
Marcel tells his patients they got to go back door for a couple of weeks until
the guys are happy.
Come out.
It's a win-win.
That's right. Yeah, busy.
I'm horrified.
All right. It must be great when it's all stretched out like that. And do they have
look like bat wings?
It's my
frightening.
God.
Oh my God.
They have rib spreaders. Do they have labia spreaders?
It's just manual.
Oh, you do it
with your fingers.
Nice.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. We wear gloves.
Sure. Oh. Yeah. What's up, Izzy? You need a stitch for the honeymoon? He'll tighten you right up. Vaginal rejuvenation. He'll put a hymen back in you for the honeymoon, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't that like high school? Isn't that, shouldn't the doctors, after you give birth, they sew you back up? Is there a way
they
cut you at the same time? Can you have the plastic surgeon there? Have you there at the ready, baby pops out, you do your thing, then it's all part of the healing process.
I don't think too many of us want to be on call for that.
But I'm just saying.
I guess.
It's all in one. 2 weeks later, you're good as new.
It's a different doctor. And, you know, who knows when they're going to crap the kid out. And Marcel, right. he's got to go to Sandals on vacation.
Call.
He's got to golf. He's not waiting around.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the phones. This is, thank God I beat off before I came in tonight. Thank God. Nick?
Yeah.
You're 21?
That's right.
All right.
You have a question for was it Dr. Marcel?
Yeah. Fire away.
I was wondering about what can be done for acne scars.
Acne scars are very tough, and a lot of it will depend on what type of acne scars they are. If they're the ice pick scars, which is those real small diameter but real deep, they can be cut out a lot of times and then that's sewn back up and it leaves just little fine lines. But if they're the deep craters, the large craters, that can be very tough to make better.
Really?
Yeah.
They haven't worked that out yet, huh?
Nah. No, I mean, you can try resurfacing, but especially on guys, most guys aren't going to want to have a laser passed over their face where they're, you know, pink for months and all that because they can't cover it up with makeup.
So the resurfacing is just taking the skin around the divot down so that it all
kind
gets
of beveling
to that level.
Everything down.
Oh, man.
You're sanding it down. You can do it with a laser. You can do it with a dermabrader, you know, which is kind of like a power tool sander.
Weren't they giving collagen injections or something for a while?
You can pump
like popping them out a little bit?
You can, but see, the problem with collagen, it only lasts, you know, 6 weeks,
and it gets absorbed?
Gets absorbed. But there's a whole generation of new fillers that are just coming out, and nobody has a whole heck of a lot of experience with them, and we'll find out if that's going to help.
And what do you mean new fillers?
New things to plump skin up with instead of collagen, something called like hyaluronic acid. It's a Restylane.
What about like non-medical, like if I like exercise a lot or something like that?
Nah. Sure.
Drink a lot of water.
You do them chin-ups.
But if you drink a lot of water, your skin does sort of, and eat salmon. You should get the Dr. Perricone prescription book.
Yeah,
you should.
Exactly
you know what? If he wants to do something natural, go get this book. It's called the Dr. Perricone's prescription, and it's all like vitamins and foods that you can eat.
Yeah.
And,
no. I mean, that's all healthy stuff. Yeah. But if he's got established acne scars, that's not going to make a difference.
Go get the book. Listen to me. Don't listen to the doctor. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, like she's got perfect skin, you know, and she's doing okay. She's not worried.
Well, listen, nothing does anything. Here's the whole thing.
Dr. Perricone thing is really great.
Nobody looks any different from what they eat or what they think about or their herbal teas. It's nonsense.
It's not true.
It's
ate salmon for like 5 days straight, and I got to work. It was actually the episode that you were there, and I got to work, and everyone's like, oh, my God, something's wrong with Busy. She's glowing. I had this weird sheen, like this weird glow to my skin. Everything. It was like the salmon.
It's all the mercury in the salmon.
She let a huge salmon fart, too, on day three. I remember that. Well, like a fisherman's wharf over. I couldn't
Stop
figure out what it.
It
was. I thought we were having fish sticks for
serious.
Lunch.
What was this guy's name?
Nick.
Yeah, okay. Get the book, eat the salmon.
I'm
the skin will look exactly the same 10 years later.
Who knows?
You could eat more salmon than a grizzly bear, and you would not take 1 millimeter out of that pockmarked forehead of yours.
Unfortunately.
Well, he could try it. We don't know how severe his
scars
are.
Well, listen, I mean, here's the whole thing about all that drink a bunch of water and eat healthy and get up and exercise. I mean, it couldn't hurt.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's better than, you know, smoking and drinking scotch.
Right.
But, I mean, it really doesn't make you look much
different.
But are
you having as much fun?
No. And let me ask this. I asked this to Drew. Of course, he had no good answer, but maybe you can help me because I'm outraged at the medical community. And here's my scenario. Years ago, everyone said, you got to drink water. Americans, we don't drink enough water. It's all coffee and soda and diuretics, stuff like that. Yeah, you got to drink. And then there was all these things. I think it was about 10 years ago, 8 years ago. It's like, you should be drinking like 8 big tumblers of water every day. Nobody's drinking enough water, and then that's healthy. Man, that makes you healthy. You drink that water if you're dieting, especially. It's great for your skin. It's great for your complexion. Everything's great with the water. I figured out that Americans probably drink 7,000 times more water than they did 10 years ago. Like, everyone's walking around carrying a water bottle. Right. Like, you don't, you would never drink water. Like, 10 years ago, you wouldn't drink water while you're driving. Just
no.
Chugging off a water bottle. Every time you go to a meeting or you go anywhere, it's like, you want some water? You need some water? Oh, I got my own water. We'll take some more water. Well, I got some out in my car. I leave, like, trails of water bottles everywhere. And now it's like a nervous habit. Like, I'm sucking off a water bottle. I'm literally drinking gallons of water every day. So I went from no water to tons of water, exactly the same. Everyone looks exactly the same. No one's lost an ounce of weight. No one looks any better.
No, everyone's gaining weight.
Everyone's gaining weight. So what's up with the water?
I don't know.
Okay, I just want the quacks that screamed at us to drink the 8 glasses of water every day to kiss our ass.
Well, I think they didn't want us to, like, use the water to wash down our McDonald's supersized fries.
I'm down with that, but really, people drink tons of water now and nothing. Everyone's getting fat. Perfect.
But everyone still eats the same crap.
I know, but they never talked about that. They're always just like, you're not drinking enough water. You should be drinking. And I remember it was always like, it was like 8 glasses of water a day. And everyone's like, oh, that's a lot of water. But now everyone is drinking that much water, and everyone's just as fat, if not fatter.
Right.
Idiots. All right. Let's take a little break. I'm disgusted with all you nutritionists who are listening to the show right now.
All of them.
All of you. All of you. The legions of nutritionists who listen to the show nightly. Busy Phillips here tonight. Home run. Sorry. Home room. I'm into baseball. Home room. Name of the movie coming out tomorrow, Friday, in L.A. and New York and Denver. Dr. Marcel filling in for Dr. Drew, plastic surgeon, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Marcel, plastic surgeon. And that'll be the theme of tonight as far as the medical questions go. Busy Phillips in here tonight. She has a new movie out.
Naturally Beautiful, I might add.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Home.
You gotta get a little weird.
You're talking about fried chicken or something.
Oh, Lord.
Homeroom coming out tomorrow. That is Friday.
And, go see it.
New York, L.A., and in Denver. And let me just tell you guys something on a personal note. I'm done with this godforsaken summer, by the way. It is like a 78 degrees outside. It's like I went upstairs in my house to take a nap. It was 88 degrees.
So hot today.
And my kitchen is like the effing wild kingdom in there. It's like I saw a spider, ants, a moth, and a fruit fly all in the same like area, like they were hanging out, like they were having an orgy. And it's weird. It's not just the heat, but it's the weird heat.
Yeah.
That sort of weird, cloudy, wet September heat. Ugh. That comes around gets everyone all sticky and weird. And somehow insects get all freaky, and the ants are just kind of, seems like ants in my kitchen just sort of running in a circle, like not knowing, feeling like they have to do something, but not sure what they're doing. There's moths everywhere. I've had an ass full of this. I want it to get cold. I want everything to hibernate but me. I want to start sleeping in, you know, when you put the long johns on?
There you go.
You know what's nice? I'll tell you what's a nice move. Sleeping in sweatpants and then wearing them the next day. That's a
sweet
power move.
Sweet.
That feels good. Sleeping in some socks. What about some nice big socks? Remember that one?
Big
old fat socks, some sweatpants, maybe a shirt. You get up the next day. Here's a nice move. I don't know if chicks do this. Guys can do it when it's cold. Sleeping in the long johns, the thermals, with the socks on and stuff, waking up the next day and just pulling the jeans up over them and heading out. That's a nice move. Little sack smell, I got to be honest with you. But it's liberating. It's nothing better than leaving the house in the sweatshirt you slept in. And what about the beanie? I love a beanie. You know, you pull that, it's like a longshoreman's cap. Pull it on, hair's all messed up, doesn't matter.
It's nice.
Pull it down. People don't F with you when you're wearing the beanie, too.
No.
You look tough. You look scary. Like, people pull up next year on a highway, just flicked you off or something, and they apologize. They think you're a maniac.
Right.
I want the beanie, I want the long johns, I want the big socks. All right, that's my move. That's what I'm focusing on. I could get this weather back. I need a nice earthquake, too.
Yes.
All right. Let's take some questions for... is there a boob question up here? Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk to Robin, who's 19. Robin?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Marcel. I feel really uncomfortable when I'm having sex, like taking off my shirt, because I have one breast that's larger than the other, like a whole cup size.
Bonesy, bonesy.
What are you? What are both of them?
I have a D on one side and a C on the other side.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time finding bras. I don't know, should I get a breast reduction on my side that's a D, or should I get an implant on my C side?
Well, that would really depend on the anatomy and what your breasts really look like, how stretched out or not. Oddly enough, this is not a plug or anything, but we did a thing for Discovery Health where there was a gal who one side was a double D and one side was a D.
Wow.
And she was she wouldn't even take her top off in front of her mom for the exam. Aww. She was 17.
Well, I remember when my dad wanted me to show him my balls, and I was a little reluctant.
Yeah.
I got over it. But I can see that. I can see being
in
that
her
way.
In her particular case, we wound up doing a reduction on both sides. In your particular
both sides.
Yeah,
oh,
we
I
made
see.
Them both down to like a full C.
I don't agree with that philosophically.
Well, I know. You're kind of a big-breasted kind of a guy.
Yeah.
But, Robin, I mean, what I've done on some occasions is certainly you can put a small implant on the smaller side, or you can make the other one, you know, the bigger one, smaller. Typically, if you do that, there's more scarring. So you might want to go to find a – I don't know who's in Boise there, but find a board-certified –
some of the best plastic surgeons and dairy farmers in the world.
Aryan Brotherhood.
And often the same guy. Yes, some of the greatest white supremacists,
plastic
surgeons, and dairy farmers
exactly.
This great nation has to offer.
Right. But, I mean, you know, go to a board-certified plastic surgeon. Don't just get one opinion. Make sure you get two or three and see what they tell you. It may be relatively simple to put a relatively small implant on the one side and just make it a little bigger. But, I mean, most women, across the board, almost all women have some difference between the two sides.
Not me. I'm perfect.
Oh, we know that.
No, I'm just kidding. I totally have that, too.
Yeah.
Everybody has it.
Prove it. Prove it. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah, everybody has. All my friends have that.
Yeah, everybody's that way. I got one nut that hangs a little lower.
But one cup size, if that really bothers you.
Yeah, that's a little more than the norm.
But look, does it show when you're wearing clothing?
Not to everybody else, but to me it does. Like, especially when I take off my shirt and look at myself in the mirror, I can see
a
really big difference.
If it doesn't show when you're wearing clothing, though, right?
Not to anybody else. It does to me.
Okay. That means it doesn't show, goofball.
No, it means that she's sensitive
to
it.
Everybody.
And if she,
that doesn't show.
You know what you could do, though? This is just a suggestion, is to get one
drink
of those.
Drink more water?
To
drink more water and eat salmon.
Okay. No,
shove
salmon
in your
go
bra.
Go get those jelly boobs.
Well, she's concerned when she takes her clothes off.
Oh,
with
like
sex.
To have sex.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah,
also, but now I'm a little bit worried because the two times I asked her if it showed, she answered not to anybody, but to me. Like she kept, I was just trying to ask a simple question, which is, you think a guy could tell if you're wearing a tight sweater? And she kept getting back to her. So I'm wondering.
But with the bras today, like, nobody would be able to tell. Everybody
no, but this bras. May be a bigger – look, I've never heard – all women have some sort of asymmetry in the boob department, and I've never heard a guy complain about it. It's just never been an issue. I've never heard – and one of my buddies –
depends on how much asymmetry.
It does. But I'm guessing the complaints aren't coming from the guys. I'm guessing it's more her
issue,
she's
sensitive
and she's freaking
it.
About it.
Yeah, she's
but isn't
sensitive
that what, like,
it.
All plastic surgery is about anyway, really, let's be
no,
honest?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think there's some people that have a legitimate situation that they want to take
care
of.
Right, like that woman that was on Extreme Makeovers that had the severe lip disfiguring problem. I mean, I understand that for plastic surgery.
Most
but
of plastic surgery is about self-esteem.
Right.
You know, all right.
And I mean, certainly some of the real fringe stuff that you see on television is a bit much, and I tend to try and avoid those kind of people because they're basically unhappy with themselves as a person, and you're never going to make them happy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Eddie?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 19?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to let you know, dude, you're right on. We had two earthquakes today in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You taking the heat off us?
It is on.
Yeah, totally.
That's great. What were they?
They were. I heard they were a 2.7. I only felt one. I was driving across the bridge today around 6:30, and I felt one. And I wasn't sure, so I called down to Lab 105, and there's a guy there. He felt both of them. He said that there was one in the morning and then one in the later afternoon.
Yeah, whatever.
What bridge were you on?
Golden Gate.
Sweet. It probably wouldn't, as freaky as it would sound, probably be one of the better places to be on an earthquake because they're just meant to flex so much. Probably be all right.
Yeah, it kind of rocks and swings.
Yeah, yeah, so those suspension bridges are made for that. All right, good times. Just to torture me, what was the weather like there today?
It was cold. Very cold.
I knew it. I could have slept in my sweatpants, right?
And socks.
And
yeah,
socks.
Definitely.
And then put everything on over what I wore when I... My goal, I like weather where you can sleep fully dressed. I'm talking shoes, hats, parkas, vests, sometimes formal attire, three-piece suits, pocket watches, the whole thing.
Monocle.
Monocle, cigarette extension, top hat, cane, the entire thing.
Describing Mr. Peanut?
Mr. Peanut. Looking like a railroad baron from the turn of the century. That's how I want to say. Raccoon coat. Yeah, that's how I want to sleep. Not that thing where I get... Now it's like that thing where... You go to sleep and you wake up and your legs are hanging over the side of the bed and you find yourself with the pillows, so you keep flipping the pillow over. This is a disaster. We need to cool off. All right, let's take a little break. Busy Phillips here, Dr. Marcel here, and we'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel. Dr. Marcel, plastic surgeon, filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be back Sunday. Drew's been bopping around promoting his book and doing the Olsen Twins movie and all over the place like the last 3 weeks. But
I saw his book at Borders there.
Oh, you did?
Have you read it?
No.
What's it about?
I heard it's good.
Yeah, I mean, the back cover looked really... I didn't buy it.
Oh, come on, buddy.
I'm waiting for the autographed edition from him.
Well, you really buy one, he'll autograph it for you.
Oh.
Come on. You buying that book is like one-tenth of a second of you doing a boob job would pay for that book.
Right,
how dare you?
One. I'll bring it up.
What's
it's
that
about
busy?
Twins or...
I think it's called Cracked.
It's called Cracked, and it's like fictional to some degree, but it's
medicine,
also... sort of autobiographical.
We were talking about that when he was writing. I remember that when he was in Wilmington.
It's supposed to be good and well-received.
Very good.
All right, I'm going to read it one of these days. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips is here. Homeroom is the name of her movie. It's coming out tomorrow. It is coming out in New York and L.A. and Denver, and you should go see it. Now,
Thank you. We
were talking off the air about zit-popping and proper zit-popping, and it's something I've always enjoyed. And most women seem to enjoy this. They love to get those nails into you. They like a good back zit. And you know what I like about the back zit is it's like a preseason game. You can experiment. Put in your different players. Go ahead. It doesn't matter. No one's going to see it. I mean, you can really dig in.
Yes.
I mean, face you can dig into, but the back, man. I mean, the back, you're getting out stuff from the shed.
There's the potential for the home run.
Yeah, there really is on the back. Yeah, the face is nice, but the back. And I've always had a technique, and I don't think anyone really tells anybody what to do. And there should be the eighth grade should be a class in zit popping. Like
in health,
proper.
They should just have like a section in the book, in like health class.
Yeah, they absolutely should, because... every teenager is going to get a couple of zits, some more than others. And people they think it has to do with diet, or you ate some chocolate, or you've been eating too much greasy food. It's got zero to do with that. It's all hereditary, just like everything, by the way. Just like everything. But a zit can be popped a proper way. And I don't know if you know how to do it, Marcel, but you must have some tips. And Busy, I know, has some experience and some tips on this.
Absolutely.
So what is your technique?
I have many different techniques, and it varies based on the eruption.
Right.
Yeah. So I have that little tool that you buy at the drugstore, which has the little circles on both sides, the bigger circle and then the smaller circle.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Now what is that one? I don't
you
know that
don't
one.
You don't have it?
I just use a safety pin. Or...
No. The safety pin's fine.
Right.
If you don't have the tool.
Oh, we got the one. Yeah, okay. Go
the
tell me.
The tool is like you press down and it just shoots out.
It's really?
Just, it's like fantastic. It's so satisfying. It's
wow.
Like,
yeah,
it's
well, that, really that's incredible. Better than using your fingers because when you try
or,
and squeeze.
Okay, but
yeah.
if you're going to use your fingers.
What's the tool called?
Use your knuckles.
Your
no, I'm telling you. If you're, you don't
actually,
you
yeah.
don't use your fingertips.
No, you don't want to get your nails
there's
in there.
So much bacteria in your fingernails. You'll only make it worse. You want to use your knuckles.
Right.
And if you can, work it. I of course, can because it's just experience.
Right.
Sure. You take some Kleenex and you wrap your knuckles in the Kleenex so that
she's
you don't even have
down.
The bacteria from your hands. And
right.
then you go and you want to go underneath the skin and push out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With the knuckles. Yeah.
And now what is the tool called?
It's like a zip popping tool. Yeah, the Revlon makes one. I know
right.
Revlon
oh, really?
Makes one.
See,
yes.
I got to start hitting the chick aisle because I'm always looking at like batteries and cheap booze, but I never hit the chick aisle.
It's like with the nail care.
So
it's like
nail care and stuff?
Zip poppers.
Okay. I'm going to get that.
I think they call it an extractor.
Extractor.
Yeah.
A blackhead extractor. Whatever. And it's really good for the blackheads on your nose, too,
because
you just drag it down.
What about lancing? Do you do any pin work on your face? Or,
I have been known to. That's always gotten me in trouble, I have to admit.
Really?
I've always gotten in trouble. There used to be, I went through a period of time on Dawson's Creek where I was getting some really bad eruptions.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually, like, at one point, a website that was devoted to finding the covered up zits on my face.
Oh, really?
Because what I would do, was that I, you know, they can cover up a pimple. They can't cover up a giant scab on your forehead.
They can't do anything with a speed bump on
right.
there.
And what I would do is I would like really get in with a needle. I'd get drunk or whatever,
sure.
come home, and then you
like
look
pinhead.
At your face and it's like, like you just start picking at nothing. So,
yeah. Well, okay, so let's talk tips to for teens and these zits, because I just don't believe anyone tells them anything.
No, busy, I think she summed it up really well.
Oh, there's a couple more.
If there's a good yellow head on it, then just unroofing it with a needle that you've cleaned with some alcohol.
Yeah.
Also, the hot towel. Never underestimate the hot towel.
Heat is good.
Or the steam.
Steam is good. Hot shower.
Take a hot shower and then pop the zits.
Yeah.
After you moisturize. Moisturize first, then pop the zits. You don't want to moisturize over a popped zit.
Yeah.
Just puts
Then, of course, my sister uses hydrogen peroxide on everything afterwards.
Oh, I've done that, too.
But that, use only half-strength hydrogen peroxide. Full strength's a little too harsh on your skin.
Really? But, see, we were talking about this during the break, too. My skin doesn't scar. So, like, I really don't get... I mean, so I can use the full strength hydrogen peroxide.
Go.
In fact,
so let's summarize here because I have some of my own tips too. First thing, okay, so let's just agree on everything. First off, you can never attack a zit and try to pop a zit. You have to relieve a zit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Unless that zit is ready to go, it's got to be in its ninth month and ready to drop that kid. That zit in month number three, and it's a disaster. It gets all inflamed, gets all effed up. So you gotta. Now here's what I do. I find now you tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong, but a zit is usually one pore that gets clogged
correct.
Or infected, right?
Correct.
You can find that one pore if you look at yourself close enough. You will find the epicenter of the zit. And if you find that and you drop a pin into it, it'll feel like you're pricking the outside of a plum and then just drop. Oh, no better feeling, no more satisfying feeling than when that pin drops in. And I mean, I've had that thing drop. You know, it's like 3 inches of pin just like in the side of my head. It's great. And when you pull that, now you know you've hit. Because if you hit a pore that ain't the zit pore,
nothing.
You're kidding yourself, mister. And I'd be lying to you if I said that would work. It doesn't. You got to hit the zit pore. And
yeah,
you
can't go in from the side.
You got to drop it. You come right down the chute with it, and you got to drop it in with that pin. Now, Drew gets freaked out every time I talk about lancing yourself. But look, let's be honest. He's like, you go to a doctor, a professional. BS. You don't do that. You lance yourself. Get a nice pin. Put some hydrogen peroxide on it, some rubbing alcohol. I like to burn it over the flame a little bit, but it ends up burning your fingers. But like, you drop it right in, and then now here's my technique. I drop it in, and then I'll spread it. If you can drain it by spreading, it's great. When you bunch it together, it can get a little trouble. Try to spread those cells.
Right. If you're squeezing it too much, you can drive the infection deep, which will make it worse.
Right.
No?
Spreading is a good technique that I forgot to mention, but that's also
thank you.
Well,
that's why we're a team.
We work together.
We're going to be on the view talking about this next week.
The knuckle really works.
Okay, and then what about products? I like OxyTen. I've found that
the harsher the better.
The harsher,
it's like hairspray. You want Aquanet. You don't want, you know,
that's
Paul
right.
Mitchell.
You know, don't put the kid gloves on when you're going
right.
at a zit. These,
absolutely.
These are hardened criminals. They must go into lockdown with the OxyTen. They cannot be reformed. You see what I'm saying?
I get the prescription stuff.
Oh, really?
You get proactive?
No, like prescription cream stuff. I don't know what it is.
All right, so here are the beats. Now we're going to the phone. So, Key, if you see a zit coming, hit it with some OxyTen and leave it alone. It's not ripe yet. Don't monkey with it.
No.
Hit it and leave it alone.
But
keep your hands off it.
But, Adam, I just need to say this. Part of it's trial and error, and part of the experience of knowing when the zit is ready is just trial and error, just doing it.
But this is why we're talking about it, because I'm an expert zit popper now, and I don't have any zits.
Right. I don't have any zits.
I wish somebody would have spoke to me when I was a young person about how to pop a zit.
It was kind of fun exploring, though, wasn't it?
It was, but often frustrating as well.
Agree. Okay.
Okay, so do not monkey with the zit before it's time.
It's like 3 days. Like 3 days,
well,
4 days.
People are different. They have different timetables. But look at the zit. If it's not ready, it's not ready. You got to back off. You got to just put a little dab of OxyTen on it and go to bed. You can't monkey with that zit.
See, I prefer to not put the zit medicine on it. I prefer to put, like, makeup on it, all the oil I can get so that it really comes to the surface and it's good.
I'm coming from a dude perspective
this,
though. Sorry,
you
know
what
I mean?
Makeup,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, you chicks with the makeup, you have no idea what a lifesaver that is, what a safety net that is. I mean, when you're in high school and it's like prom night or you got a date or something and you want to add a bad zit, you know, half a day earlier, as a dude, you're just walking around with what looks like a cherry lifesaver just stuck to your forehead. Like, I mean, it's just stuck. You're just walking around with a jujube stuck to your forehead. You women, at least, I mean, we could tell you have a zit, but at least you put a little powder on it. You get by.
Right.
All right. So OxyTen, hit it with the pin. Don't push it. Don't mess. Spread it out. Heat is good. And enjoy. Mazel tov. All right. Where are we going back to the phones? Let's talk. I got a question for Dr. Marcel here. Jacob?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question for the doctor. I miss Dr. Drew. I don't know. But
I miss him, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Jacob?
Yeah.
Dr. Marcel just slipped me a little post-it that says, kiss his ass. All right?
Dick.
All right. Screw you, little jack-off. Call him.
I miss Dr. Drew. Yeah.
Now he's got a question for you. Screw you.
Yeah,
just go get on the internet.
Me is a world class dick.
Thank you. You're a doctor. You go to school for 30 years to have some little jack off call you and screw with you. Screw you. Renee?
Hello.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
I hated Jacob from the first syllable that came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
What's up there, Renee?
Oh, man. all right. So I'm going to try to give you the short version of this.
All
my
right.
little sister, she's 15. She's been locked up for about a couple months now. I found out, like, after the second time she was locked up, which was, like, 2 months ago, that she'd been prostituting. She's been raped a couple of times.
You say locked out or locked up?
Locked up.
So
in
she's
jail?
Like, it's
juvie?
A rehab slash reform type place in another state.
All right,
I haven't seen her since the
say
second
that,
time.
Please.
She's been locked up since I found out she was hooking.
Okay.
And,
does she have a drug habit?
She's been, like, the first time she was raped, she was on pot, and that was over 2 years ago now. So she's been smoking for
13.
A while. When they tested her blood, when they sent her away.
Beretta or Huggy Bear or something. It's like she's locked up ever since she started hooking, then dropping the S-bomb. Please. You're an 18-year-old young lady.
She's talking about her 15-year-old sister.
I know.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I know, but it's like it's,
right, right,
it's
right.
Like
sorry,
she's
I just
been
got
living on the street, too.
Right.
I'm a bitch.
All right. I'm going to get back to... Hold on. Renee.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can't swear on the radio.
I'm sorry.
All right, I know it seems like you can because all the carefully chosen rants and all the horrible words I say, but you can't say the S word.
I won't in the future. Right.
Okay, now, so what do we want to do about this, or what's your question?
I haven't had any grieving period over any of this. Like, since she's been gone, I haven't really just sort of, like, ignored the fact she's been gone, haven't really done anything about it, haven't really cried much. She's been raped twice, and, like, none of it's really seemed to affect me, and I'm kind of worried about it, because...
What are you doing, Renee? Like, what's your situation? Like, what are you up to?
Oh, what do you mean, what am I up to?
Well, what do you do in life? Like, you're 18. Do you go to college?
I'm out of high school. I'm taking one night class, and I'm working right now.
And you're working?
Full time.
You live by yourself, or you live at home?
I'm trying to get out of home.
Is home bad?
Sort of.
Like, who's,
My dad's very verbally abusive and one step away from hitting people, so...
Is he an alcoholic?
A dry drunk, yeah.
Did you, there she goes with the lingo again.
Yeah, did you go to Al-Anon?
No. I went to two Alateen meetings, like, about a year or two ago.
Did you get that information on zit popping? Yeah? Pretty useful,
that,
right?
Yeah.
Solid, right? Okay, listen, here's what's going on. Your family's horrible. Your sister just basically went AWOL, got into hooking, got into drugs and all that. You, by the grace of God, haven't, although a little Alateen or Al-Anon wouldn't be bad for you at all. As far as, you know, you grieving for what your sister went through and doing all that kind of stuff, I mean, that's just something that's going to come in time and something you need to work out maybe when you're attending some of these Alateen meetings,
yeah,
or
absolutely,
something like that. But the family's a disaster. And what you need to work on is not going down the path that your sister's gone down. I mean, it doesn't seem like you're going to go that way, but I just mean getting hooked up with an abusive guy, getting pregnant too early, screwing your life up. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
I think the phone keeps cutting in and out on
I don't
on
have
the
a
feed.
Boyfriend.
You do?
No, I don't.
You don't. Good. Be careful the guys you choose. They may be pricks, all right?
Every time.
Every time? Yeah, it's no coincidence because your dad is. Hopefully he'll just die on the job or something. Like fall over. Maybe an industrial accident. All right?
All right.
All right, go to Alateen, though, would you?
I'll try.
No, go.
Do whatever you want. Just go have fun.
Whatever.
Who cares? Listen, here's the whole problem. These poor girls are raised by these abusive guys. They become very angry, and they're almost antisocial, and they become sort of hostile, and then they just get into that, you know, they call, they want advice, and then you immediately get angry at them because they're sort of, their attitude is so raw and so crappy. So that's what happens. I can't love them. I can't.
That's all they want.
I know, but I'm not going to do it. Look, go to Alateen or don't. Don't bother us then. I don't know what to say, you know? You give them all the advice you can try to give them, and then they're at the end, they're like, eh.
You have to, it's different with girls.
Girls
two
are,
men on this show.
Girls are ruined by their dads.
Yes, I know.
Ruined.
No,
ruined.
I understand that.
I know, and that's why all you horrible, horrible fathers out there have to realize, like, guys you can screw with. Guys, the wiring is thick and it's hardy.
Right.
And it's not too intricate.
Beat them up.
No, guys wired like a toaster oven. You can kick it around. Like, if a thing's buzzing a little, you just whack it once and it stops. Women, forget it. They're player pianos. And if you leave them outside or squirt them with the hose or screw with them or anything, they go south almost immediately. It doesn't work. You can't,
right.
you can raise a son and a daughter in the same environment, the woman will completely freak out. The guy will just end up getting a couple of bar fights. That's basically how it works.
Sometimes.
Yeah. No, women are just, they're like anything.
Or the men, end up repeating the cycle by becoming abusive fathers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that
pretty much
that happens.
Right.
But I'm just saying
perfectly healthy, perfectly normal.
Really
it just
natural,
continue the
yeah.
cycle.
No, it doesn't even need to be like wholesale abuse. Just if a father neglects his son and neglects his daughter, the daughter will spin out, and the son will just be.
We'll do it in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't start
less,
hooking.
Like,
doesn't start hooking.
"Quote unquote crazy ways."
Yeah, it becomes dangerous for the daughters. I mean, they go out and they hook.
They
you
cut.
Know, they're 14 and they hook up the 28-year-old dude,
yeah.
and they start whatevering. But here's the thing: it's always just poetic justice for the dad, because you can just go watch that daughter in a porn film a few years from now. It's great. It's what they deserve. I'm sorry the daughter has to do it too, but the dads, it's really their ultimate nightmares. They don't want their 15-year-old dating the 28-year-old guy in the El Camino either, and that's what ends up happening.
Right.
So good. And they hate you. Your daughter will resent you. Like your dad, like your son, you and your son might get in a fist fight when your son's 19, and then you crack a few beers, and then it's over with. You go fishing or something. Daughter resents you rest of her life. Yeah, I know. I know how it works. All right, let's take a little break. I'm getting depressed. You guys depressed?
I'm a little depressed.
All right. It's earthquake weather.
It is. It's too hot.
It's too hot. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Marcel. Dr. Marcel filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be back and back for good. He told me today when I paged him. He's up there in Canada working on the Olsen Twins film. Surreal.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And Busy Phillips here. Busy, you like Dr. Drew, right?
I love me some Drew.
Yeah. And I mean, it was written into the script when we did the Dawson's Creek episode, but I think it's a little art imitating life here.
But not anymore. Art.
You're had a crush on
I had a crush on Dr. Drew the
yeah.
first couple times I came on the show.
You should.
I just, and there's something about someone who just, he's devoted his life to sort of doing this great thing, which is, you know, he works at this free clinic, right? Doesn't he? And it sometimes, and he's got this practice, and he's got all these kids, and he's like devoted to his kids and his wife, but at the same time, he's a workaholic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he...
Yeah.
He's given his life to, like, educating teens about drugs and alcohol and sex and abuse, and I just think it's kind of like a service that no one else is really doing.
And so. You know what? He's a man of great passion as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a passionate man.
He is.
He's a passionate man. He really is. I mean, he's told me, like, you know, and here's how I know he's a man of exquisite passion, because I tell him, like, yeah, we go to the strip club, we go to Vegas, we have a good time over there, and he's like, how do you do that? I'm like, well, listen, what do you mean? We're adults, we go over there, we drop a few bucks, have a few drinks, it's a good time. He's like, well, what do you do when you're done? He's like, hey, you know, go back to the hotel and jack off. It's like, I couldn't do that. Like, what do you mean? He's, I can't go into a strip club because I would want to be with the woman, you know?
Wow.
I'm like... Yeah, now Busy's really getting high. He doesn't move where he throws a stethoscope over his shoulder when he gets to business. When you see him slowly turn it around. He's like Burt Reynolds in Smoking the Bandit. He only takes the hat off for one thing. So that Drew, same thing with the stethoscope, only takes it off for one thing. And I know his wife may be listening, she's getting mad. But I'm saying that Drew... cannot go into a strip club like a fat person can't go into a Baskin Robbins, because they can't have one scoop and leave. They're going to devour the whole place. He's a man.
I don't believe this.
He's a man of exquisite passion.
I don't believe this at all.
Well, I don't. What do you mean? He's told me this.
All right.
He says, how can you sit there for 3 hours looking at naked women and getting lap dance and everything, and then just pick up and leave?
Right.
He's supremely passionate that way.
He's okay. A closer.
He's a closer.
He closes the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And he knows enough not to get himself into that environment where that's going to happen, because if it does, if he, you know, again, supreme
like I say,
passion.
I think it's very noble what he does.
It's him not going to strip clubs or the
job.
No, he's great. He's good people.
He's a great guy.
He did this radio show for 10 years for free, by the way.
Are you kidding?
Yes. I mean, no.
Yeah, he started
not off. Really. Yeah. But he just used to be Sunday nights for a number of years. But he's
right.
still.
I kind of remember that when I was like, teenager.
He would haul his ass in here every Sunday night and sit down for 2 hours and do the show.
Bring
and then
bring his medical books in.
Yeah, what a loser.
He'd look up the questions in between calls.
All right. Meanwhile, Marcel was at the strip club looking at his work and some future clients.
Yeah. You know.
Checking them out.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm passionate that way, too.
Yeah.
I know, but no one cares what you
chain.
Do.
I see the gold chain.
Yeah.
I hear that you make fun of the gold chain. I see
no,
it.
No, they do. They issue, when you're a plastic surgeon, you get the gold chain. It gets put around you.
Like
it's
St.
That
Christopher
or,
medal? Yeah. Like, what is it?
St. Jude, the patron saint of lost and hopeless causes.
It's Italian horn. Actually, what it normally is. All right, that or the pinky ring. You get your choice. And Marcel went with the gold chain.
Nice.
Okay, I'm going to go by who's been on hold the longest. And we have 100 minutes over here, everybody.
Aww.
Katie, okay. Line 6. Katie?
Hello?
15? Yeah, sorry,
Hello?
Baby, about the 100 minutes.
Oh, it's okay.
All right. You're in love with your best friend?
Yeah.
And he's dating
my other best friend.
Oof. Yeah. Mm. And
it sucks.
Yeah. I think I heard a smoke detector go off, a low battery chirp. Is that true?
Huh?
Okay.
That's right now?
That's the number one answer for the low battery. Let's just be quiet and see if we hear it. Usually comes around about 35, 37 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That's from the fire detector thing on my wall.
You have it on your wall.
Yeah, it's low battery. It's been doing that for a month almost.
Yeah, you should get that checked out.
Yeah, we'll do it someday.
Okay, there it goes again. Now, Anderson, help me count it. One at 47. I think it's about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Here's what I do to occupy myself on the show. I will time it. I got to figure this out. I stand next to it, if you would, please.
I can't. My mom's in there, and she'll be like, "You're on the phone. It's too late to be on the phone," and then she'll make me get off.
Okay, well, let me just write down when it chirped last. According to my meter, it was at 47. All right, it should be going any second. Let's listen for it now.
One.
30 seconds. It just did it.
Oh, did it chirp and the phone cut out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake. All right, so now I can't time it now, right? When'd it go, Anderson? At 117?
I don't know. I got my own timer here.
Okay. Anyway, it goes every 30 seconds. Now, this has been this way for more than a month?
Yeah, pretty much.
Here it comes.
And do you understand?
You can go to 7-Eleven and buy a battery and put it in. Like, it's not difficult
it just went.
To do.
It's 30 seconds. There's different. They have different times. Some are 35 seconds. Never over 40. Yeah.
She hit it 200 times while she waited for us.
Pretty much.
And yeah. And She was on hold for 100 minutes. So the thing must have chirped every 30.
Oh, my God.
Damn. All right. See, the phone keeps cutting out, so we can't hear the chirp. This is horrible. Okay, so listen. Is the thing, is it in your room?
It's like in the hallway.
In the hallway?
Yeah.
In your mother lives in the room,
this goes
too?
On all night long.
No, she's in the bathroom because my little brother's sick, so he's puking all over the place.
All right, but is your mother's room within earshot of the smoke detector?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to put a pillow over her head tonight and take her out of her misery. And then you need to start a hibachi fire in the living room, and the whole family needs to perish from carbon monoxide because that's the only way Darwin can clean up this mess. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
I swear we get this once a week, and oftentimes the smoke detector's in the bedroom of the person, and it has been going on. I mean, the most common answer is, it's been some months. I don't even know how long. And it's above their bed. And I explained to them that reptiles would go insane. Do you understand that an iguana would go nuts with this thing, eventually either kill itself or get out of the cage and knock that effing thing off the wall? This is the worst. Now, for you, it's a bad sign, but for your mother, it's she's beyond.
It's beyond.
You're salvageable.
Right.
I'm used to it because I
that's the worst answer. That's the worst answer.
No,
that's a horrible answer.
I'm used to it because I can't sleep in the quiet. I need to sleep when I'm sleeping. I can't
with a constant beeping.
I can't. Right. That's why I always have a radio on, like 24/7.
It's good. It's good to train. It's good training in case there's ever a real fire.
So she uses your show to drown out the beeping.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
So Katie, in love with your best friend, and your best friend who's a girlfriend of yours is also with the guy or is with the guy. This is not going to work.
No. Nope.
This is trouble. And maybe the only reason Katie's into her or into him is because
the best
her
friend.
Friend is.
Yeah, the other best friend.
See, I've liked him since I've met him. And I've known him for like pretty much like 4 years. And I've known her for like 3.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know. It's hard.
But listen, you know what you need to do? You need to find another guy. Stop hanging out with them and go find yourself another boyfriend.
See, but
that's my...
He hangs out with me the most. Like, he always wants to be around me.
It
doesn't matter.
This is trouble. This
it's
trouble.
Trouble. Right,
quiet, quiet. We got a beep coming up. All right, here it comes. And.
There it was, but it cut out.
Did it really go
it
when the thing
out.
Cut out?
Yeah.
But it only cut out for 1 second, and that was the second.
There is some larger force at work here.
Everyone else heard it, though.
Like America?
What America Anderson? Got to hear it, yeah.
Katie.
Okay,
Katie,
really,
find some new friends.
That's really weird. Okay,
Five
Katie,
seconds.
I'm sorry. All right, let's just hear it one more time. Where is it?
Dead air.
Where's the chirp?
Did it happen?
No.
Well, how come? It's been over 30 seconds.
Could it have died?
Maybe she's listening and she went and put a battery.
Maybe it finally died.
Oh, my God.
It died.
Oh, my God.
On air.
Katie, are you not hearing
it?
You're not hearing the chirp anymore?
No.
It's dead.
That's incredible.
We killed it. And I missed its last chirp, which is like the last words of a dying person.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's like someone's lying in bed saying, "Remember to," and I sneezed right on their last word, and my ears closed, and I couldn't hear. It's dead, isn't it, Katie?
Yeah, it is actually.
All right.
Will you be able to sleep?
It's a sign.
That's a good sign.
Okay. Yeah, for my mom. I guess.
All right. You get that new battery. Put your tongue on it. Get a nice buzz off those 9 volts. And forget about this new guy or this old guy or this guy.
Yeah,
it's just trouble.
It's tough. It's just tough. You don't want to mess with that. Girls first.
Yeah. Maria?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Your boobs are deformed, it says?
Yeah. They're like kind of lumpy. And the nipple, it's kind of on the bottom. You know, it's supposed to be in the front.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of in the bottom.
Facing and, down?
Yeah, and I was wondering how much it would cost for a boob job.
Well, if they're pointing down, a boob job or using implants isn't going to help.
It isn't?
No, because they'll still be pointing down.
What's the procedure for that?
She'd need a lift.
We were talking at one point, you were saying there wasn't lifts.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're lifts.
There are.
Yeah.
I thought we had this conversation once.
No.
You said, well, there's implants, but there's not really lifts.
Yeah, there is, but it involves more scarring.
They, like, have to pull the skin up.
Right. And there was a scar along the top? Where?
There's usually a scar around the nipple, sometimes down the front of the breast, sometimes in the crease, too.
For a lift?
Mm-hmm.
No, I would
what
think
about
the...
those armpit scars that everyone's
not
got
not going to be for
days.
A lift. You're not going to get
nifty.
Any kind of a lift.
Have you seen those?
Armpit scars?
Yeah, it's like you get a boob job and you just have this tiny little scar in your armpit.
No, I'd like
it's
to see
really
that.
It's really intense. It's really, I mean, it's not intense.
Well, I'm
I
going
know.
Through the
it's
pit
cool.
when I get mine. Hey, Maria.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the phone cutting out. Must have been her smoke detector.
I was wondering, my nipples.
Okay, but here's, wait a minute. Here's the thing that drives me nuts is this phone has been cutting in and out ever since we moved to this studio. It's not been doing it lately, but of course it fired up tonight. And when it goes down, it seems to go down for a good 10 count. But on that one chirp, it only went out the... it just went out the 1 second that the chirp went down, which is bizarre because it's never gone out for 1 second before. I'm being mocked by that smoke detector. All right, hold on a second. We're going to have an earthquake now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Everything's lining up. Maria?
Yeah.
All right, so... You want to consult a plastic surgeon, or what would something like this cost generally?
Well, if it's a true lift that she needs, one, I wouldn't certainly tell you to do it at 17.
Right.
But if it's a true lift you need, it could be anywhere from $3,500 to $6,000, $7,000, depending upon what needs
really?
To be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any money, Maria?
No, not right now.
And nobody's
started going to school, so we're paying for it. So
where are you going to school?
San Jose State.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's a school. It's not junior college.
Yeah.
Almost junior college, but not quite.
But also, you're 17, so you got some time. So maybe you graduate from college, get a real job, and save up for a couple of years and get your breast lift.
And wait till you have kids.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No, not right now.
Okay.
And buy a push-up bra, because that'll help.
A push-up bra.
I'm a big fan of the push-up bras.
Me too.
I don't leave home without them.
What about training the nipple by tying a...
a small weight?
No, you don't want to tie
Oh, right,
a weight.
Sorry.
You tie a balloon.
You tie floss. Right. No, here's what you tie floss around one. You come around your neck and then tie the floss around the other, holding it up. Yeah, pulling it up toward your chin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. All right, there's really nothing you can do at this point, because you're 17, you want to get the surgery, and you don't have the money for the surgery, and insurance wouldn't cover this, would it?
No.
What is the rule with insurance? I mean, they're not into the cosmetic stuff, but what if you have a serious problem?
Well, you gotta understand, people think insurance is for taking care of you. Insurance companies are in it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the last 10 years, they've tightened their criteria on what they'll cover and what they won't cover. And certainly anything that affects appearance, they try not to cover.
Right. Now, what if something is grotesque?
Well, you can certainly write an appeal letter. You can have it reviewed. Typically, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil there.
Right.
And so you have to sometimes be very aggressive in making sure that a physician reviewer gets it. And if it's some guy or some physician reviewer that's just some family practice guy with no experience, no plastic surgery background, you can try and demand that they have an outside plastic surgeon review the case and see if it's considered, a necessary procedure.
Right.
And if it's like a breast reduction, aren't those the easiest?
Well, no, because the insurance companies tightened up the thing. They want to make sure you've gone through a year of trying to lose weight and physical therapy.
I applaud them for that move, actually. I don't like to see the breast reduced either.
Oh, Adam, it can be horrible.
Not for me, it's not.
Well.
It's good for me.
It's true.
All right. And I do agree, though, in the sense that we talk to a lot of people, and they want to have their breast reduced, and they're 30, 40 pounds overweight, And
Well, it's a catch-22. If they have huge breasts, it's difficult to be physically active. It's difficult to exercise or jog or anything with that kind of breast. So you're not going to be able to exercise. You're not going to be able to lose the weight, which is not going to make your breasts go smaller. So it's a catch-22.
All right. Just easy on the calorie intake and do some sort of swimming thing. It's nice. Get some into
water aerobics.
Water walking.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the woman on Oprah did today.
That's right. They walk in the water. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Marcel. Sorry, buddy.
Know how to hurt a guy.
You gotta understand. You're the third. I'm like a prostitute. I can't remember the name of every guy on top of me. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I'm getting humped so many times a night.
Gotcha.
I don't even know. That's why I call him Hun or Champ.
Champ.
Start calling all the doctors Champ. Hey, Doctor. Hey, Champ.
Yeah.
How you doing, Champ? Dr. Marcel is filling in. Here's what I do. Here's how it works. You'll be glad. No, I'll be calling Drew Marcel on Sunday, which is Drew. The first doctor comes in the first night. Drew's not there. I call him Drew all night long. So I'll call Bruce Drew.
Gotcha.
And then when he leaves and you come in, I'll call you Bruce. And then Drew in turn will be called Marcel.
Okay, good.
So I'm always kind of sort of a day behind. Dr. Marcel in here tonight filling in for Dr. Bruce, who is filling in for Dr. Ben, who is filling in for Dr. Drew many years ago when he went to Canada to be with the Olsen twins and film that movie. They're now in their early 30s, the Olsen twins. They were teenagers when he went to begin shooting in Toronto some years ago. Busy Phillips is here tonight. Homeroom is the name of the movie in Chicago, in New York, in L.A., and, of course, in Denver as well. Out tomorrow, by the way.
Yes.
All right. So let's see who's been on hold the longest. Yes, Anderson.
I got something for you. Hold on.
All right. And
you hear that time?
Yeah. Oh, I was. Yeah, my timing was right on, right? I said and it beeped, right?
That was
but
it.
But I couldn't hear it.
That's the lost one, but I found it.
Ah, the lost. Thank you. And isolated from my own
the
my
death
own
rattle.
Genius. Yeah, let's hear that. Let's hear my timing again on the smoke detector.
And
wow, that's probably 2/3 of a second there.
It's pretty good.
I'm really on my smoke detector game.
Yeah.
That's gonna pay dividends one day too. I stand by that. Yeah, I don't know how, but I know it's gonna come in handy. I'm timing smoke detector batteries. Could turn into a separate business. I don't know. Thank you, Anderson. Danielle?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question about nipple color. I was wondering if there's any way to change the color of your nipples. Mine are really light pink.
You have a baby.
Really? Really? Baby will do it?
Yeah, if you have a kid, that often darkens them.
Don't have a baby.
Yeah, don't have a baby just to change the nipple color.
Like them darker?
Yeah, you can see the veins through them and stuff, and I don't like it.
Just, if you're going to get down with a guy, just put a little makeup on it.
Yeah, a little nipple rouge.
You're good to go.
Okay.
Now, what size are your breasts?
I'm a double D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with
she's
that?
17. Adam, come on.
It's not like she's never going to be 18. I'm just just getting it in early.
Stop
that's
it.
All. It's not like we're going to talk after this. This is it for me.
Right. All right.
When are you going to be 18?
May.
Hey, that's my birthday month, huh? What's the date?
The 29th.
29th. I'm the 27th.
It's like a year away. Oh,
they're practically married.
There you are.
All right. All right, so double D, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, how's your weight doing?
I'm about 170. I'm 5'7", so I'm a little bit overweight.
All right, a couple pounds to lose. I can see right past that with those big cans here, so that's fine. All right, you got no problems. The guys don't care about that, by the way.
No. Okay.
All the stuff, here's the deal. All the stuff you think guys care about, you women, we don't, and then all the stuff you think is okay is unacceptable. All right? You really need to know what works and what doesn't, and all the stuff you complain about and stuff like, well, one boob's a little bigger than the other,
we're not that
too big or too small. Mm-hmm. We don't sweat those kind of details.
I figured this out a long time. You guys are looking at me like I need to know. I don't need to know this.
You don't need to know.
I don't need to know.
I just think there's a lot of 16, 17, 18-year-olds who call and they think a guy's going to freak out if something's a little different down there or up there, and it never – I've just never heard any a guy he'll explain about the smelly foo-foo. He'll pipe up about that
if it is if it's bad, if it's something to worry about.
Yeah, there you'll hear comments, but other stuff like a little asymmetry or a little nipple color,
they won't even notice though.
No, I've never even heard a guy really talk about nipple color, good or bad. I mean, you could make an argument for pink as good as you could make for brown or vice versa. Stop sweating it. You find a guy who loves you, and that's it. There you go.
Adam loves you.
I love
carrots
you.
Carrots and salmon.
That's right. Eat a lot of salmon.
He'll definitely help you.
Joseph?
Yep.
You're 22?
Yes, I'm 22. Is this Dr. Marcel?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I have a question for you.
All right.
I'm thinking about getting a penis enlargement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends are telling me no, because after the surgery, you won't have any feelings.
Well, I mean, there's, and believe me, I am not billing myself as a penis enlargement specialist, okay? But my understanding of the procedures, there's two basic procedures. One that cuts a ligament at the base of the penis that just makes it hang a little lower so that you can walk around the locker room and it looks like it's a little longer.
Okay.
And then the other one is to make the actual girth bigger, and that usually involves fat injections or dermal grafts. Anything that you're putting into the shaft of the penis certainly could lose some sensation.
How's the dermal graft work?
Well, they take a skin from like your abdomen and bury it, wrap it like a sandwich, like a Kaiser roll around your penis under the skin.
Pig in a blanket.
That sounds lovely.
Pig in a blanket.
That sounds really fantastic.
I certainly don't advocate the whole penis enlargement surgery.
He's had it done himself, but he does not do that.
No, don't do it either.
Marcel?
Yeah.
No. What's
Joseph.
His name? You're Marcel. Yeah. Joseph?
Do I need penis enlargement?
How dare
Joseph,
you?
Joseph, do you think you need it? Are you really uncomfortable?
Yes, I am very uncomfortable.
Well, what's wrong with your penis? Is it unusually small?
Very.
Are you a big fella?
5'11", about 220 pounds.
Hmm. You know, if you dropped a couple pounds, it would help.
Yeah. But my penis size is flaccid. It's like an inch and a half. And,
yeah, but I'm telling you, I've spoken about this to Drew many times. You see that, well, you don't see it busy, but...
no idea.
If you're a guy, you go to the gym, you see that fat guy, and the fat guy has got that almost, it's like the turtle with its head going back into the shell, you know? And the the gut, I mean, it's really, the gut's there and the thigh's there, and it's essentially, it's like you've taken your mailbox and put a big mound of dirt around it, and all of a sudden the mailbox only seems like it's sticking out of the ground a couple inches because you've built up the area around it. Plus, when you're fat, you have higher circulating levels of estrogen, make your dork a little smaller too. So definitely the weight, and then there's just that whole sort of relative thing. Like your penis weighs 3 ounces and you weigh 230 pounds. Yeah, you want to tip that scale a little the other way. You know what I'm saying?
That certainly helps.
Yeah, it couldn't hoit is.
But you can lose sensitivity.
Goes.
That's the bottom line.
Well, all right, so
another question. Yeah. How come when somebody gets fat, it doesn't?
There's no fat cells in there.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it's not. There's no storage there.
And
he is the practical joker.
I know, and you get fat, gets smaller.
Can I ask? Can vaginas get fat?
The outer lips can certainly, and the super pubic fat mound can get fat.
Yeah. There's some chicks with husky vaginas.
Nice. All right.
It's nice. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
All right, Joseph, lose a few pounds. I think that's the other thing, too. We're going to break. Don't worry about it, Anderson. But we got a lot of folks, especially called this show, and a lot of Americans, we were talking about this off the air, who are 5'11", 230 pounds, and they don't label that as overweight. Unless you're 5'11", you're 230 pounds, unless you're playing, you know, football or hockey or something, chances are you probably drop 35, 40 pounds.
Yeah. My boyfriend's like 6 feet, and I think he's like 150.
Yeah. Oh, your guy?
Yeah.
Well, that's spindly.
He's rail.
Yeah.
Skinny.
Yeah. Yeah. That dude that sings those Adam's apple, like, my index finger. Show me the man is. All right. We're going to take a little break. Busy Phillips here, spindly boyfriend, and Dr. Marcel in here.
Stop
and we'll
it.
Be right back. Show. I want to thank Dr. Marcel for coming out here and educating us all in plastic surgery and other issues involving medicine. I want to thank Busy Phillips for coming out and for the movie Homeroom. One more plug. She's a friend of the show. She's a fine actress, and her work deserves, nay, demands to be seen.
Thank you.
And you can see it in L.A., Chicago, New York, or Denver, Colorado. So go out and see that. Dr. Drew coming in for a nice change next week. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Marcel saying mahalo. And...
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.